Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 328, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. And thou art my portion, Lord, thy words I ever heed. With all my heart thy grace I seek, thy promises I plead. 1, 2, and 3 of 328. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter, the first 25 verses. Luke 1, verses 1 through 25. But first we will read in the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. And for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke chapter 1. For as much as many as have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, and that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee in these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Debbie Van Driesten, who is in the hospital. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, all-sufficient Lord, who dwelleth in the heavens, but whose hand that is busy here upon the earth, in the lives of men, in the hearts of thy children, to bring forth thy own decree and counsel, so that nothing shall be left undone of all that thou hast thought to do, even from the beginning of the world. O wilt thou remember each and every one of us also, for thy church shall be brought in, despite all the warfare of the prince of darkness, despite everything that takes place in the hearts and lives of thy own children, it is a church that shall be brought in, despite all their fears and all their despondencies, and that it seems like it shall never come to pass in their life. Lord, so we may read it also in this morning hour. May it be that there are those who may find themselves also in the case of thy children, which thou dost reveal unto us in our days still. O, a people that do find themselves in those for whom there is yet no answer, and when for so many, many years their cry has come up unto God. Then it is possible that they have even ceased to ask anymore, because it seems that it is now cut off. It seems that it is impossible even for the Lord. It seems that it is not the will of the Lord to remember them. Lord, then we may read in thy word that for those that in a natural way would have long ceased to call upon thy name, and who have left everything as an impossibility, thou didst appear to them, thou didst show thyself, thou didst reveal thy will and all thy intentions, and thou didst declare in that day that they should not fear. Thou didst take away their fear. Thou didst declare that though it seemed that thou hadst never heard, yet their prayer that has come up into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. That thou may remember those and that are in this place in the midst of us. For 4,000 long years, then thy church has looked for that time that thou would send a blessed mediator into this world, that thou wouldst reveal him in the midst of the sinful men. For 4,000 long years, and then it still lay in the future, and for so many years before that it did take place, thou was so silent that there was no more any prophet, that there was no more any teacher. Then it was understandable that there was a people who had given up everything. Lord, look upon thy church. Thou knowest where that they are. Thou knowest where that they do sit even in this morning hour. And thou wilt uphold thy own. It is thy own work that thou hast begun, so that desire has begun to go out after the true and the living God. And it is a fire, O Lord, that cannot be quenched. But thou knowest that there is also a trial, and that there is an affliction that is laid away for that people, and that it is through much tribulation that they must enter into the kingdom of God. Then there is so much that needs to be learned of themselves, so much that has to be taken away, that thou might receive all the honor and all the glory. But Lord, could it please thee that the time may be near, and that thou may make it light for those who do sit in darkness, and that as we do look forward in these weeks to the time, and that thou that we may commemorate the coming of thy dear Son in the flesh, the taking upon himself of the human nature,
that he may be the Emmanuel God with us. Oh, that thou mayst so remember thy church, to reveal thyself in the hearts of thy children, and that thou may open the poor blind eyes, and those that have been given indeed to see, and how great their sins and miseries are. Oh, that their eyes may go open also for that blessed work that thou hast accomplished in thy dear Son. Oh, what a beauty, what a preciousness that they shall see then in him, who was not only in his human nature, but also who had a divine nature. Oh, him who was almighty, and who continues this day at the right hand of thee, that he may quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, that he may come to the aid of his children and those that are destitute, so that when that sin does abound, that grace may much more abound, when thou may only open the eyes of faith, that they may look upon thee in thy only begotten Son. O Lord, we beseech it of thee, would it not be to thy great honor and to thy great glory, when the mouths of thy church may go open in the midst of the congregation. Oh, that there may be life that is experienced and felt and heard amongst us, and that there may be a little of that joy of thy salvation to be experienced, that thy children may be given to sing a little in the wilderness as they continue unto that great city. Lord, remember all thy children. Thou knowest all their needs. Could it please thee also to bring more in? Oh, thou hast sent thine only begotten Son, and that he might seek and save that which is lost. Oh, that we may be given in these days to feel how utterly lost that we are, and that we might need a Savior. Oh, that we might need one whose name is Jesus, Savior, that he might save us also from our sins. Oh, open then the eyes of young and old, also the little children. Oh, that their hearts in the days of their youth might burn after the true and the living God. Oh, instruct us all together in the fear of thy name. Oh, that we might leave behind all this world, and that it may become vanity unto us. And oh, that that blessed treasure that is to be found in thee and may become so precious unto us, and that we might take heed to thy admonishment to seek that thou mayest be found, to ask that it may be given unto us, or to knock that it may be opened unto us. Oh, give it in the midst of us, Lord, as a congregation, young and old, to be in our secret chambers continually. Oh, to be busy in the searching of thy holy scriptures, and that thy Spirit may work mightily, that it may say live, and that we may be raised from the dead. Oh, we beseech it of thee, Lord, undeservedly, for thou knowest that we do not deserve it. Our sins rise up against us. They prevail from day to day. Oh, take reasons out of thyself to look upon us in thy mercy, and go thou with us then this day, thy day, when we are privileged to be together in thy house of prayer. O Lord, wilt thou bless then thy word? Bless us, though we don't deserve it. And wilt thou look upon all that are not able to be together with us? Remember them in their places in this day. And wilt thou grant them also a Sabbath day's blessing? And then especially we remember a young girl who is in the hospital once again. Lord, we beseech thee for her. Oh, thou knowest all that does plague her. Oh, that thou may put away all the devices of Satan himself, wherein he can take hold of the mind of a person. But wilt thou deliver her from this, Lord? And wilt thou grant strength and thy blessing upon the means that are used for her recovery? And wilt thou supply for the body and for the mind? And oh, may it be for her soul also this day. Remember all the afflicted and the sick ones from the congregation and those that are related to those in the congregation. And those that are maybe in the hospitals. Wilt thou supply in the needs of each and every one? Teach us to number our days and to apply our hearts unto wisdom. Wilt thou look upon us also as a consistory? We have met together with the male members of our congregation. Lord, and the means have been used that office bears may again in thy time be installed into their offices. Oh, that thou may bless these offices in the midst of us, that it may be for the good of this our flock. And may thou help us in the offices all together. Wilt thou look on us in this day? Lord, help us. Help us to bring thy word. Oh, make it an easy and a loving task. And give that it may indeed be good to bring thy word, and be good to hear thy word, and be good to be together. Wilt thou remember all thy truly sent servants over the length and breadth of the whole world, strengthen them. Also our brother and our sister congregation here in this area, wilt thou strengthen him for the labors of his hands. And give him the ability to bring thy word also in this day, if it could please thee. Help thou us all together, and forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 218, stanzas 1, 5, and 6. O thou great shepherd of thy chosen race, who leadest like a flock thy Israel dear, from out the cherubim reveal thy face before our host. Now let thy might appear. Come thou, O God. To save us and restore, we shall be saved when shines thy face once more. The last collection today is for the school. We would like also to inform the congregation that at our last male members meeting, the following office bearers were re-elected for Elder Mr. Gerard Brunn, for Deacon Mr. Ben Outshorn. Any lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by December 15th. Also, due to personal reasons, Mr. Rick Busicombe has requested the consistory to accept his resignation as an office bearer. This request will go into effect at the time of the installation of office bearers on January 2nd. Also, our next consistory meeting has been changed to Thursday, December 9 at 7:30 p.m. Psalter 218, 1, 5, and 6. Thank you.
And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. What a blessed reception. What a very fitting reception. They were all waiting for him. What a fitting reception, especially for a king, that they were all waiting for him. And yet we know that there were many kinds of people, and we know that there were many that were waiting for him and came to hear him for a reason that was not right. There were some that came to catch him in his words. There were some that came with a desire to drive him into a corner that they may be able to accuse him unto the Romans. Then there were others, we read, they did eat of the loaves and they were filled. They came that they may see another miracle. Then they would have something to speak about again. Then they would have something to wonder about and to speak about amongst all the people. Then there were those that came to hear his speeches, because then even the enemy had to say that never man has spoken like this man. And then there were the lepers and the blind and the deaf and the dumb and those that were oppressed, and not only for the body, but also in their soul. What a difference. And they were all waiting for him. And the Lord, he makes room for himself, not to fill the natural quest for learning or our other desires in this life, but to fill the need that is living in the heart of the destitute, and to receive for himself the glory. Let us consider this together. Out of the words of our text, which we can find in this morning in Luke 1, the 17th verse. Luke 1, the 17th verse. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So far, the words of our text. The forerunner of Christ. First, his character, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. Second, his work, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. And last, his purpose, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And then after we sing, to close with a word of application. Thus, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. First, his character. Second, his work. And third, his purpose. Why, say the scribes, then that Elias must first come? That is the question of the disciples. when they have been with the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And then they come to him with a question, why say then the scribes that Elias must first come? If thou art the Messiah, where then is Elias, who was supposed to go first before that Messiah? Where did that question of the scribes or that statement of the scribes, that saying of the scribes, where did that come from? That came from the Word of God. And what was the Word of God for those scribes, for that people in the time, children of the Lord Jesus, the Word of God that was for them the Old Testament? So we can read this in the Old Testament, that Elias must first come. Isaiah 40, verse 3, the voice of him and that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Malachi 3, verse 1, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, as saith the Lord of hosts. Thus we have the prophecies. The prophecies of what? Well, here is prophesied the mark by which that Messiah will be known. That would be difficult for that people when he would come. How would we know who is the Messiah? How shall we distinguish him from all the people? And now here we have a mark, that it is prophesied that there shall go one before him. He is going to have a forerunner, even as the kings in this world. Thus, the people, they may look for this forerunner. And then more specifically, then is revealed by Malachi the character of that messenger. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Thus we hear the angel, he is speaking to Zacharias, and that angel, he is using the same words as Malachi. Thus we have proof. Proof that that Old Testament, that those words of Malachi, they were not the words of men, but that they are the words of the Lord. They are quoted by the angel of the Lord. The Jewish people, they were very, very familiar with their own history, with their own law, with the prophets. Do they put us to shame? Are we also so familiar? Elijah was very well known to that Jewish people, but their interpretation of those prophecies was corrupt. They were looking for what? They were looking for the literal interpretation of this prophecy. And the Lord, he does not correct this error in general in the midst of his people, but he leaves that people in his just judgment to their error. But what does he do? He shows to his own people what the truth is. What did he say to the disciples? He says, Elias indeed must first come. But he says, Elias has come already. And they have done to him whatsoever they listed, whatever that they wanted. And then we read, the disciples then understood and that he spake to them about John the Baptist, that he was that Elias that must first come. Here, that angel speaks unto Zacharias. And very clearly, that angel says that that forerunner that will be your child. And then he gives an explanation of that prophecy. He says, he shall go before him, he shall go before the Messiah, before the Christ, in the power and the spirit of Elias. Thus, he says, it shall not be fulfilled in a literal way, but it shall be fulfilled in a figurative way. It will be the same power, and it will be by that same Spirit. We know there were remarkable similarities between Elijah and John the Baptist. The time in which each of them appeared, those times were so very, very similar. When the truth of God's word that had been laid very, very low, when there was so much corruption within that service of the Lord. We can read even children about the dress and the habits of these two men. They were men that were in the wilderness. They were men who had turned their backs to everything that was in this world. We can read especially how that the Lord speaks about the power and the spirit that was the same. It came from that same God. And both of these, Elias and John the Baptist, they were filled with zeal for the cause of the Lord. Both of these, they were filled with courage. We can hear them reproving kings for the sake of the Lord. We can see them enduring the persecution that is coming against them. We can see them fearlessly standing for the truth. And not only so, but also their work. That is our second thought. Their work that was the same. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Thus, what is their work? Their work is to turn the hearts. Who can do that? Who can do that? To turn a heart. Can you do that? Can I do that? Can we turn our own heart? Can we turn the heart of someone else? Oh, to turn the heart, you say that is not our work. No, that is the work of God. But the Lord says, John the Baptist, he shall turn the hearts. What does that mean? It means that John, he shall be an instrument. Is that not a great privilege? Oh, to be an instrument in the hand of the Lord to turn the hearts of men. If John could, he would have turned the heart of every one of those Jews. That was his desire, that they would all be waiting for him. Can you understand the heart of God's servants? That is their desire, to turn the heart of everyone. But John could not do that. No, John will be the instrument, but this is the work of the Lord. But what an astonishing thing when the heart of a man may be turned. That is not only his body, the body of a man that may be forced. And we can say many things that may impress the mind of a man. that can influence him in his mind, but now the heart, the soul, the will, the affections. Can we give a love in the heart of a man for one that he did not love before? Can we produce a desire in the heart of a person for something that he does not desire? Oh, to turn hearts. That is, to do what? Actually, it means to turn back, to bring back, to restore the heart. That is, not in a new way, but actually that is in the old way. So that speaks about something that they have left, that they would be restored unto again. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, Malachi also says, and the heart of the children to the fathers. What does that mean? He speaks about a union, a bringing together of the fathers and the children. That means there was a separation. There was a departure. Now he speaks about turning them back again and to bring them into heart agreement, genuine union. Thus he speaks about a departure. And what is that departure? In the time of Elijah, Israel had so far departed from the religion of their fathers that you could hardly recognize anymore that that was the children of Abraham. And what did Elijah say? He says, "How long hold ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, serve him. But if Baal, then serve him." And Elijah, used as an instrument in the hand of the Lord to turn that people back again unto the religion of their fathers. Thus, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, that is not spoken in a literal way because it is actually the children who have left the way of the fathers. But when the Lord will turn back the heart of the children unto the fathers, then the heart of the fathers that will be united again with the heart of their children. And the Lord uses Elijah. He uses Elijah to bring a harmony amongst that true people of the Lord once again and to bring back what was divided. Elijah's prayer on Carmel, what was it? Oh, that the Lord would turn the heart of this people back again from degeneracy, from his word, from his truth, from his service. And so it is now with the prophecy of John the Baptist. Oh, there was such a great departure. In that time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, then that church in that time that was in a state of utter confusion, all they have departed from the Holy Scriptures. It was the inventions and the doctrines of men that did prevail in the church when the Lord Jesus came into this world. There was a great superstition that did corrupt the true worship of the Lord. There were divisions. There were sects within that church of God. All the priesthood, and that was very openly wicked, profane, carnal. The children. The children had departed from the truth of the fathers, from the faith of the fathers, from the doctrine of the fathers, from the life of the fathers. And what was the work of John the Baptist? The work of John the Baptist as the forerunner to the Lord Jesus Christ, that was to turn them back again. To what? We read, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. What is that? The wisdom of the just. That is not the wisdom of this world. Because the Lord, He does not choose the wise of this world. The wisdom of the just, that is the wisdom of faith. That is of the true church. Then are we only wise when true faith may be planted in our heart. Then the disobedient that we read of, they are those that are without faith. The Jews, they had departed from what? They had departed from the faith of their fathers. We read they are a disobedient and they are a gainsaying people. Thus, they have left the wisdom of their ancestors. Abraham prophesied of the coming of Christ. Abraham, the Lord Jesus says, rejoiced to see my day. How was that with the Jews in the time of the coming of Christ? Oh, then it was not so in general. The work of John the Baptist, to turn the heart back again. To reunite that heart with that true saving faith of their fathers. Or when that faith may be planted in the heart of those children, then it may be united unto the true God. And when they may be united unto that true God, then they will also be united unto their Father. That is, congregation, the only way of true peace, by unity. Rome accuses Protestantism of making a division in the church. Rome says Protestantism that must come back. Protestantism must return. But there can be no peace in unity outside of the truth. First, there must be truth, unity that has to flow out of that truth. Calvin says this, accursed be that unity by which men agree among themselves outside of God. Oh, to be reconciled with each other, then we first must be reconciled unto God. And then everything which is not important, that falls away. And why is it so necessary that those Jews, they be, as we read, turned back unto their fathers? That is our last thought, the purpose of the forerunner of Christ, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Why? To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. What was the purpose, congregation, of a forerunner? Runner. Do you know that, boys and girls? A forerunner. What he did in those times, they did not have roads like we have. We need also, in the winter time now, that there are those that go on those roads and that can make clear the way for us. That is the way even more so that it was in old times, because those roads were not good. And sometimes then there were branches of the trees that were lying in the way, or there were big holes in the road. And when there was now a great person in this world, and that would have to go along that way, and then there were forerunners. They went first, and they first of all prepared the way, that all the holes may be filled up, and all the branches may be taken out of the way, that there may be a clear path for this king. That was the first task of the forerunner. And then that forerunner had a second task. That was not only to prepare that road, but that was also to prepare the people. That all the people that were along the way, that they would know that this king, that this great person was coming. And that they would be looking, that they would be waiting for him to come, that he may receive recognition as he was traveling upon his way. Oh, how dishonoring that it would be when there would be no one there to greet that king when he arrived, or when nobody even recognized who that this king was. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. It was not an earthly king that was coming, but it was a heavenly king. It was that long-promised Messiah that was now coming. And it was necessary that the Jews would be prepared, that they would be prepared to receive him, that they would be looking for him, that they would recognize who that he is, that they would welcome him, that they would all be waiting for him. Thus, that was the work of John the Baptist, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And what were now the words? What were the words that John spake in order to prepare that people that they may be looking for that Messiah? These are the words: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. What does that mean? To repent. That means to change the mind. That means to turn the heart, that is according to what was prophesied of John the Baptist. Why does he bring such a message? When the Lord will show himself among his people, then there is a very special purity that is required. When the Lord was going to come down upon Mount Sinai, then we read for 3 days that people had to sanctify themselves. They had to cleanse themselves. They had to make themselves ready for the coming of that holy God. What can we expect but that wrath of the Lord when he would approach unto such a sinful people as we are? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And yet Calvin, he writes about that word prepared, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And he says that is now not speaking about any kind of a perfection, that they had to make themselves good. But he says, it means that they would be fit, that they would be formed, that they would be adapted for use. Noah prepared an ark, that ark that was fit in every way for the people. That's the commission of John, that is to fit, that is to mold the people for that Messiah. That is the only way that the people are going to be found waiting for that Messiah when he appears. And that is now the reason that John, in order to fit, in order to mold the people, then he says, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is only through repentance that a people would be disposed to receive Christ. It is only through repentance that the people, they will be disposed to receive the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only through repentance that the people, they will begin to long, to look and to wait for Him. It is only through repentance that the people are going to learn their need for Him. It is only through repentance that they are going to see something of the blessed beauty of that King that was coming. Oh, it is only through repentance that they will be made themselves the fit objects of the mercy of this King. So it was experienced. How was the preaching of John? Was that without fruit? That was not without fruit. No, that was with fruit. We read among publicans and sinners through the preaching of John the Baptist. And even we read that many of the chief rulers believed in Christ when He came. But they did not confess Him because they feared to be cast out of that synagogue. Let us sing Psalter 232, the first two stanzas. O Lord, to us Thy mercy show, and Thy salvation now bestow. We wait to hear what God will say. Peace to His people, He will speak. And to His saints, but let them seek no more in folly's path to stray. 1 and 2 of Psalter 232. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The weeks of Advent, congregation, which we have entered, they are weeks of preparation. in preparation for a commemoration that is of a very, very special event, one of the most significant events that has ever taken place in the history of this world. That is the coming of the Son of God in the flesh. That is the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ among sinful and fallen men, a fallen world. Oh, what is now so fitting as this? Then he has revealed himself as the Savior of those who are lost. Then he has revealed himself as the Redeemer for those who are in debt. Then he has revealed himself as the Physician for those who are sick. Then he has revealed himself as the Mediator between God and a sinful people. But now this coming of Christ that needs to be applied to each and every one of us in a personal way. Else it will not be to our profit, but it will be to the increasing of our eternal punishment. We need also to experience Christmas in our own heart. What does that mean? We need that Christ would reveal himself. As we read, he shall suddenly come into his temple. How does that take place? Oh, there is always something that goes before it. There is, as it were, a forerunner. There is a forerunner to the revelation of that blessed Mediator. For what? To prepare, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. What does that mean? It means by nature we are not prepared for him. It means by nature, when there was no forerunner, when there was not one to go before him, if there was nothing that would happen in our life before that the Lord Jesus would reveal himself, we would not recognize him. We would not know, as it were, what even to do with that Son of God. Even as most of that Jewish nation know, most of them, despite the preaching of John the Baptist, were not prepared. Thus there was no place to receive him. And his coming that was to their eternal condemnation. Oh, when he would come, would we ask him, O Lord, open thou mine eyes? We do not even know that we are blind. What did the Pharisees say, who did not profit from the preaching of John the Baptist? They said, are we blind also? Then they did not need Christ to open their poor blind eyes. Or when he would reveal himself, without such a forerunner in our own heart, then maybe we would say also, go thy way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, and then I will call for thee, when I am done serving this world. Oh, when there is nothing to go before, then I would at best say, Lord, I am doing my best, but I cannot actually do it perfectly. And wilt thou then help me and be for me a half a Savior? But the Lord cannot be half a Savior. No, because the Lord does not receive his honor in such a way. and therefore the Lord does not so reveal himself. Nor what does the Lord do? He makes ready a people prepared for the Lord by his own Spirit, prepared for his doctrine, prepared for his person. No, then we do not mean that there is a preparatory work as is said in the sense of Solomon Stoddard, one of the old English divines. Then he said there is a preparatory work before true conversion. Then we only need to understand what he means, because the word conversion, he is not using in the same sense as what we speak of conversion. But when he speaks of conversion, then he is speaking about that time, actually about Christmas. He is speaking about that time when the Lord Jesus reveals himself in the life of his people. But when we speak about conversion, we are speaking really about the beginning. We speak about the new birth. But in this thing we agree. Then he says, before that time, that Christ opens himself in the life of his people, he says, something goes in front. Something goes before. That the Lord does not reveal himself except that he has made ready a people prepared for the Lord. That work, congregation, is very powerful. He comes, we read, in the power and in the spirit of Elias. To do what? To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. To turn us back again to a way we left. What way is that? That is what we left in paradise. There we made a separation. And what is the Lord doing to prepare that people for the revelation of his Son? Or he is turning that people back again. He is saying, oh people, look what you have done. He is making that people to long again for that old way. To long again for God. To long again for his presence. To long again for his favor. To long again for his communion. Oh, does the Lord also do so in your heart? To turn your heart? That is a great miracle. That is a great wonder. That is not only to turn our intellect. That is not only to raise up some emotions and some tears of a man. But it is to turn the heart. To change our will, to draw our affections, to plant love in our soul, so that we come with weeping and with supplications that he will lead us. That is not the work of men. That is the work of the Spirit of the Lord. And yet he is using men as instruments in his hand for this powerful work. And what is the message? That is, repent ye. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. All that is now the means that the Lord is making a people fit for his only begotten Son. No, it is not the joining of ourselves to all the worldly celebrations of Christmas. That is not preparation to receive that blessed mediator. Or it is the opposite. It detracts. It takes away. It dampens. And it all but smothers what would make us truly fit. Repentance. Not to make ourselves fit for God. Not to make ourselves fit for His communion. Not to merit His favor. No, but repentance. To work that self-knowledge that is so necessary to humble our heart to receive that mediator. All repentance to open to us our need of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may see His preciousness, that we may see His beauty, that we may see His suitability. All repentance to make it evident the height of our iniquity, that we may see the need for justification and that blood of that blessed mediator. All repentance to show us the depth of that inward corruption, that we would look to be washed, that we would look to be cleansed by the blood of the Son of God. O congregation, soon, the Lord willing, Christmas. But is there now a people that are made ready? Are there now a people that are prepared for the Lord, for the revelation of His only begotten Son? Is there a people that are made ready for His doctrine? Free and sovereign grace for poor sinners who are not able to pay, a people that are made fit for that doctrine of the free forgiveness of sins, of the cleansing of the polluted, all that are made fit for Him who came to sit and eat with publicans and sinners. Are there people who are made fit for a king, for all of His offices? A king because we cannot rule our own spirit, and a prophet because we are so ignorant, and a priest because we are so guilty? Oh, does the Spirit of the Lord make us fit that we may receive Him in his blessed attributes? One whose ear that is not too heavy to hear those that cry as the destitute. One whose arm that is not too short to save those who are not able to save themselves. Oh, is there a people that are made ready for His gifts? Are we made ready for His riches? Are we made in ourselves so poor that the riches of the blessed Son of God become precious in our eyes? Or are we made ready for justification of the ungodly and the sanctification of the polluted? Is there a people that are made ready for His person? Is there a people that are made ready for Jesus, a Savior? Because He saves His people from their sins. Oh, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. But to minister. How then is a people prepared? A people is prepared when they are made a people that need to be ministered unto. That is the preparation. And then He receives all the glory and our soul the benefit. Amen.
O Lord, show it to us. Open our eyes. Thou usest men. Repent ye. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Bring it as power in the soul of each and every one of us. For it is thy own work to prepare the heart to receive thy Son. O Lord, break down then all that is from ourselves. And wilt thou make us to see our great poverty. Make thy Son to be so necessary, precious unto us. Oh, that we may desire, that we may look for his coming, and that we may all be waiting for him. And wilt thou bring us safely to our homes, and forgive our many sins. Bring us with desire once again in thy house. And Lord, we have forgotten to remember her that was operated on in the week that is gone by. And thou hast made all things well for which we may try to acknowledge thee. Oh, may thou not remember, not forget her. And wilt thou raise her up again for her husband and her children. And we ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 362, 1, 2, and 3. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. O Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea. Forgiving all, and what follows 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 362.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.